we want to begin our service this evening, let's stand together and we'll sing.
Rise, shine, for your light has come. Our Father, we are so grateful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, what we have just sung together is the expression of our hearts. We love your Son. Father, we love you because you first loved us and sought us out in him. We thank you for the privilege of being united together with others who share a common faith and a common Lord. We thank you for the joy of worship, for the privilege of singing, and Lord, even for the privilege of being a part of a local assembly of believers where we can be encouraged and worship and be challenged, can grow together, can go through the challenges of life together as well as its joys. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for those you brought, for the leaders, for the members. Lord, for the wonderful privilege that's ours to gather around you as our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as our sovereign King. We thank you tonight that we get to reflect on your goodness and look forward to the year that's before us. And I pray that you would be, above all, you would be set apart and treated as holy, that you would be glorified. Because, Father, anything that has happened here that's good, that's eternal, is simply an expression of your rich and abundant grace. And we give you thanks. Receive the praise that we bring you now as we think through what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back on this balmy January 9th. No, just stick around a little while if you don't like the weather here. It'll change, but not this week, I guess. But we're glad you're here, and we welcome you back. If you're our guest tonight, let me say that we're glad you've come. You have come on an unusual evening. Once a year, we have this meeting, an annual meeting. It's not a business meeting per se. It is in one sense, but you're going to be encouraged, I think, as you see what the Lord has done through the year. And we're glad you're here. And know that you're always welcome on our normal services on Sunday night. We're studying through the book of Revelation. And Lord willing, we'll pick that up again next week. But tonight, we get a chance to reflect, even as I mentioned in my prayer, on the goodness of God. With that in mind, let me transition to our annual meeting. A number of us who serve as elders will be making presentations. Not all the elders will have a part in tonight just because of the length of the service. We want you to get home tonight, but some of them will. And we're going to begin with Jonathan Anderson. Jonathan is the senior associate pastor here at the church, and just this next week, we're going to celebrate 20 years that he has been here on staff, and we're grateful for him. He serves as the senior associate pastor and really my right hand and a right hand of the elders in doing all of the business of the church and the ministry side of it as well, working with individuals. And it's just he's a huge blessing to me and to our church. He comes now to kick off our meeting with a brief challenge.
Well, I just want to begin our time with reading a passage from Ephesians chapter 4 that reminds us of the realities that bind us together as a church and of Christ's plan for his church. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." And verse 11 says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's why we're here tonight, to reflect on the church, because it's his church, and he's doing that work here at Countryside. So let's pray as we begin our annual meeting, and then we'll have a visual representation of what the Lord has been doing at Countryside. Our Father, we do thank you for your amazing grace towards us, the church. Thank you that you have purchased us with your blood, and you are the head, the sovereign of the church, and in your grace, you've given gifts to each one who is a part of that body for the purpose of the body being built up as each one is equipped to serve in the exercise of those gifts. Thank you that you are doing that work here at Countryside, that you are bringing us into greater conformity to your Son and greater unity together. And Lord, we pray that that would only continue, that we would be spurred on to that even as we are gathered here this evening, reflecting on the variety of ministries and work that you are doing here. And as we anticipate the coming year, may each of us be faithful in this body to use the gifts you've given for the good of this church and the good of your kingdom, ultimately leading to the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, it is our joy to begin with our year in review video. It gives just a visual reminder of what God has done in and through our church across the spectrum of ministries in 2022. Obviously, it is a sampling of those things, or it would be a year-long video, but we want to reflect on God's goodness in those things.
Well, it was working before. I feel for the AV team. They're always prepared. They've gone through this. It's supposed to work. It did work, and here we are. So I think what we're going to do is we'll give them a chance to see if they can get whatever bug it is worked out, and we'll go ahead and transition to our financial report and let you, Dwight, if you would, come up and walk through that, and then we'll see where we are at that point, all right? Thank you for your patience in that.
I was afraid they were going to blame the finances for this. So here's the finances, and I want to say up front that our finance report each year is the story of God's abundant provision through the faithful giving of you, his people. Our fiscal year starts in October and goes through September. And each year we've shown a quarter, and I'm going to show a full year. So I'm going to show the fiscal year of 21-22. Here's our general fund. It's our main operating fund. And the budget for 21-22 was $6.18 million. And the actual income or giving was $6.4 million. Almost $250,000 more than what we projected and budgeted. The expenditures is showing on the chart there just a little bit over, but actually it was a little bit under, and we decided to spend some of the money for this year, some of the things that we needed to spend in order to lighten the load for that particular year. So, and our current year, fiscal year, is $6.5 million. I'm not showing that on the chart. And I can tell you that we're on track for meeting that budget. Here's the fund balances. The general operating fund has $1.4 million in it. We decided years ago that we needed to keep that above $1 million because that's our reserve. Benevolence is at $342,000, and then designated funds. Designated funds are things that we have set aside to for various ministries and projects. And so we have almost $1.7 million there. That would be things like the future church plant, radio ministry, the seminary, and then other special projects. Here's some of the money that was, what is the money that was given for benevolence, and I'm going to show it to you in two sides there. And the regular benevolence, there were over 30 church families, $140,000 in total that was used to help people in need in our own congregation. You can see Hope House there. And then we wanted to break out Ukraine since that was kind of a special thing this year. And so the Ukraine benevolence has, we designated $335,000. Here's a list of some of the special projects. We have a lot of different special projects, but I've given you a few just to, so you can see that. The student center renovation, once we bought that, there were things that we needed to do to fix that up, and so we have accomplished that. The network infrastructure, and then in process right now, we have the fellowship hall kitchen upgrade and children's building remodel. And finally, I want to say a word about the loan balance. As of the end of December 2022, our debt is a little over $8 million. And I thought I'd give you just a little perspective on that because we have spent money on three different buildings. In 2010, the children's building was completed at a cost of $5.5 million. In 2017, the worship center was finished at a cost of $11.2 million. And in 2021, the student center was purchased for $3.6 million. Now, if you didn't add that up in your head, that's about $20.3 million that we've spent on buildings. The Lord's provided that for us to do that. And what I've shown on the chart is the high point of our loan. The rest of it, you all have, through your giving and through special offerings, have paid that money. And that's well over $10 million in the last 10 or 12 years. That's amazing, isn't it? Praise the Lord for that. And then I show on the chart that the high point was about $9.1 million for our loan. It kind of went up and down as we were building buildings. But that was the high point, and in the last year and a half or 2 years, we have reduced that by another $1 million, and part of that was a special offering. We're going to do a special offering every year just to kind of keep up with that. Our goal is obviously to get that paid off, and we'd like to get that paid off as soon as we can. So let me close by saying, our God and Savior has blessed His church at Countryside in so many ways, including our finances. And many thanks to each of you for your continued faithful giving. Praise the Lord.
Well, we had a little bit of a hiccup, didn't we? But as soon as I pray, we're going to try and show that video again for y'all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come to you, who sits in the highest of the heavens, with your Son and sitting at your right hand and your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you sent your Son to save us lost sinners, and you sent the Holy Spirit then to call us to repentance, giving us that faith. Thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you continue to bless your bride, the church. We thank you how you've raised up this church to speak the gospel to so many people throughout the Metroplex. We thank you for how your Spirit draws people to it and how lives are converted and changed. We thank you for the blessings, Lord, that you've given us through the giving of your people to support this church and the ongoing ministries, many of them even here, but so far away through our missionaries and others. Oh, Lord, you're such an awesome God. We thank you for everything you give us. And we pray, Lord, as we don't know what tomorrow holds, We know you do. And we pray for this church. Lord, it will continue to be a beacon here in the Metroplex and throughout the world as it goes out over the airwaves. Use us, Lord, for the purpose you called us, to bring glory and honor and praise to you. Thank you for the people who give so generously from their hearts. So we ask all these things for the glory of our God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be right back.
the maker of heaven and earth, when he sets his affections on someone, he ensures that all will be for their good. His help is never too little. It is never too late. It is never misguided. His help is never wrong.
Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, that is true.
There are spiritual latchkey kids among us. Those who are believers in Jesus Christ, but have no one guiding them, mentoring them, teaching them, pouring into their lives. In ministry, when you make a disciple, just like a parent who makes a child, you have an ongoing responsibility 24/7 that never lets up.
Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, who rather was raised, and who is at the right hand of God and also intercedes for us.
All people do suffer at some level. But for God's people, suffering has a meaningful purpose. God is actively involved in every single circumstance we ever find ourselves in, regardless of how difficult it is.
And it's easy for us to become very comfortable in this church. It's wonderful. But that's a danger we face. We become too comfortable. But Christ said, go. Go to the ends of the earth. And you know what? We took that literally, because the mountains within which we work are called the Finister Mountains, and that's literally in Latin, the end of the earth.
Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever now we ask, we receive from Him. I'm not talking about the future, it's talking about right now. We have free speech with the God of the universe right now. Paul and John are of one voice, saying exactly the same thing. What they're both describing, listen carefully, is not perfect obedience in the life of a Christian, but a pattern of obedience.
Wow, what a blessing. I pinch myself just with the opportunity and privilege to be serving here at this church. And why don't we go to prayer and thank the Lord for what we have today to just thank the Lord for. Father, we're reminded that we come before you and we'll praise you for what we have, that the many generations that are represented, even in this video, that we are here to praise you. And it's our responsibility, Father, to teach the generations. And it's all because of you, as Pastor Pennington prayed earlier, that it's not us. It's none of the works that we do, but it's because of your word, your Holy Spirit, your plan to bless and to really instruct. This is your church. This is your candlestick. And we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be here. Thank you, Father, for all of the people that are vested in the spiritual lives that were represented in this video. We look so forward to the future, Father. We are dedicated to teaching our kids at home, but yet the spiritual responsibilities that we have outside the home to invest in the lives here in this assembly. And I thank you so much for what's going on this campus. May you continue to bless. May you continue to bring just those faithful servants of yours and just the giftedness to continue to instill your word in the lives of young and old. And we will continue to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
All right. Guys, I think that went away. Is that right? We're good? Well, it's been a wonderful evening already to celebrate God's goodness, and it's my joy now to sort of take you on a brief review of some highlights of the year and then look forward to some exciting things that are coming. So buckle your seatbelts. Here we go. We're going to cover a lot of things in a hurry. I'm not going to mention everything on every slide, but these will be available after the fact. You'll be able to access them. So just know that I'm going to touch a few highlights here and there, but there'll be a lot of things that I won't comment on. First of all, though, I do want to mention what a blessing it is to have leadership in this church that continues. From time to time, there are leadership changes, and we want to say thank you especially to Rich Dewey, who served as an elder in this church, and he and his wife moved down to Florida for work there and to be with his family. And we miss him, but we're grateful for his service. And also want to say thank you to a deacon of long standing, John Melton, who served faithfully in this church for many years, and because of some health issues and other things, has had to step away. We're also grateful the Lord continues to add. Both Sonny Flores and Keith Smith have been added as deacons to this church over the last year, and we give the Lord thanks for that. I also want to say a special thanks to Jeff Scarborough, a dear friend and partner in ministry here for many years at Countryside, served as our administrator, and he retired, sort of retired. He's still up to his neck in ministry here at the church, but as far as the administrative position, we're grateful for him. In addition, we added Wes Condra as a pastoral assistant, Bill Covington as our part-time audio director, and we're grateful for his work, and McCray Milton in graphic and media as a tech there. I'm not going to go through all the elders and deacons. I just want to show you, and again, these will be available. There are 10 elders, and as you heard recently, we're, Lord willing, planning to add another in the near future. And there are a couple of other men who, if the Lord wills, in the months to come, will be added to the elders. As far as pastors on staff, these are our pastoral staff members. And again, if you haven't met them all, if you're newer to the church, this will be available. You can get acquainted with them and hopefully meet them in the months ahead. There are 17 deacons who serve. Deacons here at Countryside are those who lead ministries. And we're grateful for their service and their leadership, and it's what really makes the church work. And we're so thankful for these men and their ongoing ministry. Transitioning to worship, just to give you a snapshot of what attendance looks like, as far as this is an average, goes back to 2004-05. That's sort of a graph line, and you can see when COVID happened, we had a little dip there as people were trying to figure out what to do. But the Lord has picked us up from there. And as you can see, if you sort of draw that line, we're not far off the trajectory. And so we're grateful for the Lord's goodness in that. Also online, you can see this last year, and that should be 2022, 33,000 total views and about 11,000 unique visitors. But what fascinates me is where they are listening from and watching from. Here are our services streamed to 50 states and 51 countries over the last year, all over the world. In fact, the guys were telling me that there are more listeners in places like India and so forth than there are in some states in the U.S. So pretty amazing to see what the Lord does with His Word. As far as what I covered this year, Sunday mornings, of course, we were walking through 1 John this past year. That doesn't look like a lot of progress. I know you're looking at that going, wow. But remember, we did some other things too. We looked at a biblical view of abortion, walked through a series called Recovering the Church's Lost Legacy, and then a number of special messages. You can see them listed there. I think one of the ones that stood out to a number of people and was helpful was taking control of your thoughts. If you haven't listened to that or weren't here when I covered that, such an important topic, you know, that we don't just let our minds go, we control them, and talking about how to do that. Sunday evenings, Revelation 6 through 13, made a little more progress there, and the guys did Jonah in the summer series, and then a couple of special messages as well. always a highlight for me as we think about worship. And this coming year, we'll continue, obviously, to work our way through both 1 John and Revelation. I think by fall to late winter, I think we might be transitioning out of both books and looking for the future. I'm thinking a gospel in the morning, perhaps Matthew, and then Sunday night I'm still working through. But, you know, I have this sort of talk with the elders about it, and they were affirming maybe Esther. So we'll see what we might do on Sunday evening. But that's where we are. As far as ministries, let me just walk you through just a little snapshot of what goes on around here. 130 average children cared for in the nursery every week. That is a lot of very young children. 98 weekly nursery volunteers. That includes morning, evening on Sunday and Wednesday evening. 48 births this year. That's a 12% increase over 2021. So the church is growing in a lot of ways, and that would be another one. And I love this. 1,100 Bible lessons taught and 3,600 diapers changed. I'm so grateful for our nursery workers in many ways. We have a wonderful special needs ministry, and I'm so grateful the Lord has brought those who are gifted and qualified to do that and have servants' hearts to do that. 11 children are a part of that on Sunday morning and 23 volunteers on a scheduled rotation to care for those children. That is near and dear to the Lord's heart, and I'm grateful that as a church, we have that opportunity. Children 3+, you can see that Sunday school, on average, we have about 268 children with 49 volunteers who serve them, and Awana, 244 on average, and 73 who serve them, and then you can see 127 kids in our children's choirs. That is just an amazing, all of those are amazing numbers to see what the Lord's doing. In our students, middle school, average attendance is 88, in high school, 96, and at 66 in our Roots College ministry. And again, you saw some of the fruit of that in the lives of people, the enjoyable times they have together, but the times as well of studying the Word of God and the life on life, which is such a huge part of the Lord's work in us. I don't like that word, assimilation, but I couldn't think of a better one. The idea is when people come and connect to the church, getting them involved into the life and ministry of the church. We had last year 1,000 first-time visitors, 106 attended Countryside Connection, that informal time we do after the evening service, had 181 new members join us, 53 people were baptized, and a year-to-year increase in adult Sunday school attendance of 112. So that ministry continues to grow as well. As far as some life stage ministries, these are just snapshots. You can see the attendance in the 128, the young adult singles, in the beginnings ministry, and the young families foundations as well. Those ministries are healthy. In fact, those who lead them tell me that the good bad news is they're at times tight on space, but we're grateful for those. Those are good problems to have. As far as our worship attendance, our maximum attendance for 2022 was 1,600. We've already seen that eclipsed in the new year. The first few Sundays of this year, we've been right at 1,700 in our AM attendance in the worship services. You can see the PM, the adult Sunday school, all of that's there, and how the breakdown is in first and second hour. By the way, let me just make a plug again for those of you who go to second hour but could go to first. You can see there's a little more wiggle room in there, a little more space to stretch your elbows. So if you can, consider that. Here is our partners' one-on-one discipleship ministry. It's really amazing. In 2022, 100 completed the partners program. 25 leaders were trained, and since its inception, an amazing 782 people in our church have completed the Partners Program. In its eighth year, it's really astounding, and that's such a huge part. Particularly, let me just say, as an elder and pastor, that is encouraging to me because as we continue to see new people come to the church, many of them are coming, frankly, from bad churches, and they don't have the foundation in some cases that we wish they had. And these, the Partners Program, the Fundamentals of the Faith, ministries like that, allow that foundation to be strengthened as we move forward. So I'm so grateful for Paul and Laurie McCollum and their continued leadership there, and for Terry and Denise Tyler, who sort of spearheaded that and got it running and now handed it off. Home fellowships in 2022-23, studying 2 Peter, Titus, or some groups are doing sermon application. You can see right at 500 are enrolled in the home fellowships, and there are 24 groups in 16 communities and 2 languages, and English and Spanish. We're grateful for those ministries. The elders understand when we set up Sunday school, home fellowships, and all of these things, we understand that and don't expect everyone to do everything. We're trying to make opportunity for us to connect in smaller settings where we can get to know one another, and home fellowships are a wonderful tool in that regard. As far as Men of the Word, that takes 2 forms. There's ongoing meetings on Saturday morning, and men are studying topics related to biblical fellowship. And then there are some significant men's events through the years, through the year, 3 men's breakfasts, 1 men's night out, and we've had some wonderful speakers that have encouraged our men and strengthened us all in that fellowship. As far as ladies, Titus 2, once a month lessons on Wednesday morning, 20 small groups that meet monthly in homes, and about 368 are registered participants. And just a wonderful feedback. Also, the women's ministry has some major annual events, and you can see them there. The 2 of the largest that continually compel people both to come and to invite others to come: the fall conference this last year with Pam Hardy, and then the Christmas banquet, where it becomes an evangelistic tool to invite others to come. It's been a great blessing to the ladies' ministries. You heard me even this morning mention the Master's Seminary, the 4-year program, the MDiv program that's here on our campus. And we have 12 students currently in the program. And we have, I think it's 4 of those men who will graduate this May. And so we're excited about that. A couple of them will stay with us on our staff. A couple of others, we're looking at opportunities for them to serve in other churches. And we're looking at others coming in to fill their places this fall. We'll have a preview weekend again this year. We had one last March, and it was a great success. We'll give an opportunity for other guys to come see this spring. As far as the counseling training, grateful for Daniel Schubert and his continued ministry both in counseling and in training others, and that's continuing. I've reported on that to you before, but you can see near the bottom of this slide that 50 ministry leaders have completed their classroom online training. And the latest class just finished in December. And in addition to that, there are 8 people currently in process to really be able to come alongside pastors in ministering to help those who need counseling help, equipped and trained by our own Daniel Schubert. So we're grateful for that ministry. Last year, we were so encouraged with the theme, Our Glorious Hope, and the wonderful conference we had with these men who were with us. Just a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship and study of God's Word. Great music. We're looking forward to this coming year's conference as well, which I'll mention in a moment. Other events: last year, we hosted the XL Ministries Training Conference, Becoming Biblical Elders, just before our conference. And then our conference, of course, in February, Our Glorious Hope. We did a Faithful Stewards Conference, a Word Unleashed conference on expository preaching in June, and that was really well attended both in person and online. We had hundreds of guys, I think, who joined with us online, if I remember right. And then the Mexico Pastors Conference is just a great way for us to serve those men who serve in hard places and encourage them and their wives. And I'm grateful we have folks who engage in that every year. Appreciate Arnold Marquez and his leadership in that as well. The EQUIP seminar came on in July. Many of you were a part of that. And then you saw on the slideshow, we hosted the Master's Fellowship Central Region, a gathering of pastors and their wives in early November of this last year. As far as outreach, just a couple of things to mention. The first is I'm I have very little to do with this other than do some recording occasionally, but I'm grateful for those volunteers and staff who serve in this. We're on radio on the large station here in Dallas, KCBI, at 10:30 in the evening, and I regularly meet people who've listened to the program. The interesting thing is when we were looking at getting on the radio, we could get a morning slot on another, really the next largest Christian station here in Dallas, or we could get this evening slot on KCBI, and there were far more people listening to KCBI at that hour of the evening than were listening in mid-morning on the other station because it's such an influential and historic station here in our community. And we're also on in Tyler, so in our kind of Jerusalem and Judea. As far as books that have come out, I'm very excited about the three hallmarks of a biblical church member. You know, so many people don't really know what it means to be a member of a church. And obviously, that's a series I did here, and that translated then into a book. And beginning to see some churches who are buying that to give to their new members and to help bring them along. Faithful Stewards, basically what it means to be a faithful steward of God's Word. In 1 Corinthians 4, and then a biblical case for elder rule, which is making the argument for why we believe in a plurality of godly men leading his church. I mentioned already the Faithful Stewards Conference, and then we're in a lot of places, thanks to guys like Lance Burroughs and others. That continues to spread. I'm grateful for the platform for God's Word. As far as outreach, a lot of local and global outreach, and all of these labels on the screen represent a lot of volunteers, a lot of man hours, a lot of ministry that takes place, whether it's the basketball camps, the Children's Hunger Fund. The reason we partner with them is because they not only provide food to children, but they also make sure the gospel is brought to bear in every case with the food that they give. The Grace Community Clinic in Grapevine, Hope House International, which we've partnered with for a number of years in the Ukraine to see kids adopted out of orphanages into Christian families. The International Friends, the English as a Second Language ministry here at our church. That is, you know, COVID hit that a little bit, but we've seen that begin to grow back now and see people begin to come, and we're excited about the continuing growth of that ministry. Local evangelism. I have a preaching conference coming up in London. That's actually not this past year. That's coming up in May, where I'm excited about teaching and preaching to a group of pastors there. The Czech Republic happened this last year. You saw that in the video. And, of course, Vacation Bible School is huge. Great outreach to our community. As far as missions, we have 20 missionary families in 13 countries. You can see a list of them here, and of course, if you miss that, they're out on the wall in the corner of the lobby, and you can see that we've already added Charlie and Lindsay Cunningham to this list, and then we always publicly just say that we have two families in the Middle East. You can learn more about them out on the wall in the lobby, but we're grateful. These are quality folks that the Lord's raised up and continues to raise up, many of them from within our own church family, and we're so grateful for that. Just a couple of campus updates. As far as facilities improvements, some of you who get to the children's building have seen that the children's building interior has been renovated with new lights, carpet, and paint. We also replaced the HVAC units in the Fellowship Hall, Worship Center, and Children's Building. I'm about to speak outside of my pay grade. If I'm wrong, the facilities guys can forgive me. But I want to say they're like 160 air conditioning units on this campus. So it is a constant battle to stay ahead of Texas heat and the fall, you know what I mean? The decay that happens and all of those things. But we're grateful that they do. We began the remodel of the Fellowship Hall kitchen. I know that you ladies who have had to serve in there and have faithfully served in there will be grateful for that when it's completed. As well, planted some additional trees and new vegetation around the campus. You can see there, special thanks to some folks who are so key in all of this on the facility side. Now with that, let me transition to a couple of things. This certainly isn't all that's coming in 2023. you saw all that happened in 2022. Well, many of those things or things like them are going to be happening this year as well. But there are a few things I just want to touch on as we think about the coming year. First of all, you've seen the promotion for it, the mention of the coming conference, our annual conference this year, Loving the Local Church. And let me just make a pitch for that. I think most Christians don't love the local church as much as they should. Many do, and our church is filled with people who do. But I can just say from my own experience, when I was a young adult and even into my 20s and maybe even early 30s, I was attached to the church, I was faithful to the church, but I don't think I appreciated the church the way I do now. And that's not because I'm a pastor, although certainly that's part of it. It's because I came to understand God's own heart for the church in a better way. And that's part of what we'll be talking about. In fact, I'll be kicking off that conference talking about Christ's love for the church. And that's why we should love it. We'll be hosting the XL Ministries Excellence in Leadership Conference in conjunction with our conference. And Rocky has several things going, but he's asked me to teach on what does able to teach mean? You know, we say an elder or pastor has to be able to teach, but what does that mean biblically? There is so much the Bible has to say about that, and I want to unpack that. So I'm excited about that. Again, our Faithful Stewards Conference, the Word Unleashed Faithful Stewards Conference in June. The EQUIP seminars that Daniel will be spearheading, our Mexico Pastors Conference, and we still hope to host the Master's Fellowship Central Region Pastors event in the fall. So a lot of things coming. As far as our own conference, you've seen this, but just to remind you, we have a great lineup of men, gifted men who love the church, who are coming to teach us. I love H.B. Charles. I love his ministry. And he'll be here. Philip DeCourcy, Costi Hinn, a dear friend, Brad Clausen, whom I knew when he was serving in Russia and serving the ministry there. He and I minister together often there. And our own Dusty Burris, who's now at Northlake Bible Church, our plant. So excited about that. I hope you'll plan to be a part of that. When the elders talked about this annual meeting and what they wanted me to share with you, this that I now transition to was absolutely key, because we believe that we need to serve the people God has brought to our church here, but we need to use the platform God has given us to see like-minded churches planted in other places, here in the Metroplex and beyond. And so that is still our heart, still our passion. And let me just remind you of what the Lord has done so far. Northlake Bible Church, we are so excited about what the Lord has done there. And on September 25th of this past year, the elders and I went out and we formally installed Wade Grubbs and Drew Michael as elders of Northlake Bible Church alongside Dusty Burris, who was already an elder. And with three elders now in place there, Northlake is an independent church. When we planted the church, we said two things had to happen for them to be independent. One, they had to be financially independent, which they were from day one. And secondly, they had to have at least three elders, qualified elders in place. And so that day, it was our joy, some of the elders, to join me and for us to install those men. And they became, as of that day, their own officially independent church. Until then, our elders were over them. Now their elders are over them, and we're sister churches and partners together here in ministry. At the same time, we also officially gifted Northlake Bible the land that, by God's grace, we were able to purchase for them right there in the center of their community for their future church building, and the planning for that is underway, and they hope to do that in the not-too-distant future. The Lord just in His providence put us in a time and a place where we could do that. We bought the land at a great price, just dead in the center of that community. And you can see the sign that's there letting people know. And Lord willing, within a couple of years, they'll have their own building there if the Lord wills. Just to give you a snapshot of how that church is doing, here is 2022. Their average worship center attendance, 348, an increase of 27%. Nursery preschool attendance, they got a lot of kids, 50, 6% increase. A lot of folks joining them officially in members in membership. That's a total number, I think, of members, but they saw a 17% increase over that time period. 25 baptisms, and got a lot of youth coming, small groups, 12 small groups. So it is a thriving church, and we are just so grateful that the Lord allowed us to have a part in seeing that happen. Now, as we think about that and look to the future, at the last elders' retreat this fall of 2022, the elders discussed this objective. This was what we wanted to talk about: refining the 10-year church planning process, including a 10-year timeline, a track for individual preparation and confirmation, and then how to raise the necessary funds to make this happen. So that was the topic, a major topic of our discussion at the last elders' retreat. And out of that discussion came this timeline. You can see that, first of all, it has in 2020 the North Lake Bible Church public launch in early 2020. That was our first plant. We're targeting, and you know, man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps, all right? So understand, this is a plan that we want to work toward. We will respond and react to the Lord's care and provision. We won't do anything that's foolish, and the Lord will give us wisdom to make that as it comes. But, you know, if you don't set a target, you never hit it, right? And so this is our target. This is what we'd like to see. We'd like in early 2025 to see a second DFW plant. Then in 2027, we'd like to see a distant plant outside DFW. And the reason we're talking about that is we have men who are going through the seminary who come from various places across the country and know of needs in various places. And so we want to be open to helping them plant as well. In early 2028, we'd like to do our third DFW plant. And then in 29, our second distance plant, and in 2031, our third distance plant. So you can see that's an ambitious schedule. We'd love to have two more Metroplex plants in the next 10 years, and if the Lord wills, and there are men and places, to see up to three outside the Metroplex planted. Here is a timeline for that second DFW plant. The first thing you can see on the timeline is, and I'm formally announcing this tonight, we are going to have a special offering in a couple of weeks, on February 12th, to initiate this process. Church planning is not inexpensive. It takes money to make sure they have the equipment they need and all that's necessary to make that plant happen. And so we have to have resources to do that. I'll talk about that in just a moment, what the target is. But we'll take a special offering in February to sort of kick that process off. Then in the summer, the elders are already in discussion about this, but in the summer, it's our desire to confirm who the pastor of that plant will be. And then in the fall, we hope to finalize the location, where in the Metroplex will that plant be. And then let me just say, by the way, in passing, that you know, none of us expect another North Lake Bible Church, because in God's providence there were so many of our folks who lived out that way and it was a perfect fit. There's no other spot really like that that we would be planting in the Metroplex. So it's not going to be that, but at least we don't think. The Lord can do what he chooses, but at the same time, we think it's crucial to continue this process. And so we'll finalize the location in the fall, Lord willing. And then in January, our goal is to have all of the funding necessary in place. And we estimate that number is about $600,000 to make sure that the monies for to help them get through the first 2 years, if they're not able to fully fund themselves, to get the equipment they need, all of those things. We are estimating $600,000. In January of next year, we'll make the public announcement. That'll be followed, as pretty much the same timeline with North Lake Bible. That'll be followed shortly thereafter by an interest meeting, those who have an interest in considering that plant. And then the fall, the core group will meet here at Countryside as a Sunday school class, still coming to our worship. And then later in the year, that core will continue to meet here but begin to meet as their own church, worshiping on our campus and not connecting to our worship on the Sunday morning, which is exactly the path we followed before. And then in early 2025, they would meet on site, wherever the location is we choose, with that core, shortly followed by an on-site public launch, probably around Easter time in the spring of 2025. So that's a timeline that lets you know what we're thinking for that second church plant. The others are targets in the distance. We have worked some of these things out, but this one is the one that's immediately on the radar that we've worked out more of the details for. As far as the preparation for the man, here's what we're going to do in the case of these plants. First of all, the preparation, either the man will already be on our staff or he'll be a TMS Dallas or XL intern. In other words, he'll already have been equipped in some way for this process. He'll, of course, have to be a member of this church. He'll have to have done partners. He'll have to have graduated from seminary and completed the XL internship ordination. And there might be some allowances in the case of some men, some of these things, if they have enough experience, if they've done other things. But this is a broad sketch of what we're expecting. Ordination, and then followed by some experience as a full-time pastoral assistant here at the church, so that we can further expose them to the ministries, all the ministries of the church, and get them up to speed that they'll need when they actually get involved in their own plant. Wives will have the opportunity to attend the ministry wives group to gain broader ministry exposure as well. As far as the finance side of it, you saw the price tag for a local plant. We're estimating about $600,000. If inflation can hold somewhat in check in the years ahead, that number may have to grow if it doesn't. But the ways we're looking to try to raise that money is we will look, if you give generously beyond what our needs are in a given year, we're gonna look at the monies received and the monies expenditured, and if there are excess funds, then we'll, as we always do, we'll find ways to put those into that bucket and allow us to help this process. We will also, as we'll start out February 12th, here in just a couple of weeks, take special offerings throughout, not constantly, but periodically, to have an opportunity to do that. And then we're also considering adding a line item to the budget, if possible, with a next fiscal year goal of something maybe of $50,000 to $100,000 built into the budget, so that we're looking to fund this in several different ways. But thank you for your generosity and commitment to do these things. The elders and I are so excited about this because some of you, or at least some of the folks in our church, I'm not sure if there are any of them here tonight, but I know this, some of the folks in our church drive a very long way to come to Countryside. And we're happy to have them. At the same time, we would love to provide more opportunities for similarly minded churches that they could consider. And so that's our heart and passion in our Jerusalem and our Judea. And so if the Lord wills, this is the goal. And we would love for you to pray with us, to think about how you can get involved in that process, and consider as the Lord moves us forward what he might do in planting churches like the one we love here in other places across the Metroplex and even around the country and the world. Just a reminder, you heard it earlier, Ryan Mitchell, our missionary, was talking on the year in video, and he said it. So let me just remind you, here is our mission. Jesus came up and spoke to his disciples, the 500 probably, who had gathered that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15, and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I've taught on that text, but let me just remind you, that text is not just about evangelism. That text is about churches. Because where are people baptized and taught all that Jesus commanded us? That happens in churches. This is the Great Commission. It's doing what we're talking about. It's seeing a biblical church planted and seeing that church in turn look at establishing other churches that will do the same thing. So this is our heart. This is our passion. And I hope you'll pray with us, join with us in this mission to see that happen here in Dallas and beyond if the Lord wills. Well, just a couple more things to do before we close our service. I want to, first of all, express my own thank you to Milt Powell. Milt, every year we rotate chairman of the elder board. It's always a lay elder, and there is a lot of work involved in that process. You know, we have a great group of elders, but all of them are leaders. So imagine getting a group of leaders in a room and having another person try to lead them. It's like herding cats. And Milt has herded us very well this year. Let's thank Milt for his ministry to us. Love you, brother. Thank you. I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. I think you'll love that. I also want, on behalf of the elders, to introduce to you our new chairman for this coming year. As of tonight, he'll be in that role through the year ahead of us, and that is Terry Tyler. I'm grateful for his ministry. Yes. I'm grateful for his ministry, and you heard a few minutes ago about the impact of partners, and really that he started that ministry here and really managed it through the years, most of the years, and has handed it off to extremely capable leadership. But we're a better church because of his ministry, and I'm grateful for him to serve this year as the chairman of our elder board. He's going to come and read scripture briefly to us and then pray, and then Seth will come and close our service. Terry.
Thank you, Tom. It is such a privilege to serve the Lord in this place, isn't it? It is. You know, as I began to think about closing our time together, my mind was taken to Paul's wonderful doxology that concludes his prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, a doxology is simply a formal expression of praise and worship that seeks to give and declare his glory. Before I pray through this doxology, let me first read it. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now notice the last word of that doxology. Amen. It means I agree. It means yes, absolutely. So be it. This word was used by the congregation as a way of joining together with one resounding voice and expressing wholehearted agreement with what had just been declared about the Lord. I'm going to offer you the opportunity to follow that biblical practice at the conclusion of my prayer. At the end, I will say, and all the people of Countryside Bible Church join together to say, and if you wholeheartedly agree with what has been spoken, with what has been prayed, if it reflects your heart, then you join in with a resounding amen. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, as we reflect on your work among us, we continue to be amazed at your grace, at your mercy, at your kindness, at your love, at your power expressed to us and to this church. We can't help but declare, along with the Apostle Paul, your greatness. We acknowledge that you have the power to do all, to act in amazing ways among your people to accomplish your purposes. And indeed you have among us. You have the power to respond to what we ask, to answer our specific prayers according to your character, according to your sovereign will, and indeed you have among us. Beyond our request, you have the power to do all that we think, to act in ways that we can only imagine, and indeed you have among us. But even more, you are able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, to act in ways that are exceedingly beyond what we've prayed for, what we've even imagined, and indeed you have among us. Lord, we think about what you've done in this church over this past year, over the past 5 years, since each of us became a part of this fellowship, since the very difficult days in our church's history, since this church was started 34 years ago this Friday in someone's home. What you have done in and through this church is simply amazing, far exceeding what any of us ever asked or even imagined. And Lord, when we think individually about what you've done in us personally over this past year, over the past several years, since the time of our salvation, each of us as a born-again follower of Christ has seen your great power at work within us through the work of your Holy Spirit, through the gospel, and through the truths of your word. This power has saved us. It changes us. It compels us. It sustains us. And it increasingly conforms us to the image of your Son. Life in Christ is far more abundantly beyond anything any of us could have ever imagined. For all that you have done, for all that you are doing, and all that you will do, we say to you be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, including in this church and in the life of every believer who is or whoever will be a part of it. To you be the glory to all generations forever and ever. To this, all the people of Countryside Bible Church join together to say, Amen.
Thank you, Terry. Let's stand together. We'll close our time tonight.
Gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and faith. strange and divine, I can sing all is